Hello students, welcome to chapter number 4, Managing Performance Internationally. In the last chapter, chapter number 3, we looked at recruiting internationally. We also looked at how important recruitment is. Now, once we have recruited people, that's just the start of the game. The most important aspect comes into the picture when we have to get the day-to-day business performances out of the people whom we have hired, out of the best talent that we have hired internationally. So today we will focus in this chapter on how to manage performance internationally. In this chapter we will try to cover relationship between culture and performance management and challenges in performance management when we are doing it at an international level. This is the structure of our presentation today. We will look at the impact of culture on performance. We will look how expatriate performance appraisals happens and what are the typical problems associated with them. We will see factors affecting expatriate job performance. What factors does expats really come across while performing in an overseas land? And of course, we will also look at the solutions to get a better performance out of it. And we will summarize the whole chapter at the end of the day. So, looking at impact of culture on performance. This would typically show you what being international means. Alright, so a simple question. Every day, early morning, we all wake up and we go to work. What is that really motivating factor that pulls us, all of us, to the work every day? One of the important factors, which is also a hygiene factor, is a need to earn salary, because that takes care of our living. So a need to earn a salary ensures that most of the people go up to the organization and perform at the best of their ability day on day. However, once my basic need of getting a salary is met, once I have started getting an X amount of salary month on month, it stops motivating me any further. It stops motivating my creativity. It stops motivating me from giving my best to the organization. So employees are most likely to be motivated when there are various factors. And one of the important factors is when they see their goals are clearly linked to the work. Their goals are clearly linked. Their work is clearly linked to the awards that they will receive. And these awards also need to be seen as fair and equitable in order to inspire people to give their best. Managers can motivate employees by setting, so mostly we are talking about the SMART goal setting that all of us know about. This is the SMART goal setting that we are talking about, that the goal needs to be measurable, they need to be realistic, they need to be time bound. So those are the SMART goals, realistic, achievable, and measurement of these goals should be possible. Achievement of this goal should be rewarded, and this reward has to be both in terms of actual reward and in terms of recognition. Reward also means financial rewards or rewards in terms of benefits. So one is, here we have seen what motivates us to go to the office and deliver our job day on day is, one is salary, which is very basic, which is a hygiene factor. And the next thing that we have seen is how reward and recognition can really motivate me to perform my best and give the best that I can to the organization. And things like how reward and recognition should be really simple but at the same time appealing. how my goals should be realistic and achievable. The next slide, impact of culture on performance. Culture, we have in the culture chapter, we have really seen in depth what culture means and how it impacts the individual performance and behavior. Now let's look at culture from performance management perspective. There are evidences that motives such as self-efficacy, need for achievement, and intrinsic needs are competence and universal. So if you have known Maslow need of hierarchy, you will see the base need is at a physical level, and then we start climbing up our need for motivation and reach up to self-realization. So this Maslow law of hierarchy is more or less true and is applicable universally. However, the cultural aspect, the communication aspect, the thought process aspect of each geography is different. So it differs with the geography. Though it is achievement and intrinsic needs are competencies, are the things that are accepted universally, there are specific drivers which differ from region to region. Here there is an example where it says that there are certain cultures where feedback, one-to-one feedback is appreciated, but there are other cultures where one to the entire group feedback is taken in a better way. Culture also has a deep impact on performance and the learning patterns of each individual. There is an emphasis on need to perfect oneself as a result in the Chinese culture, learning appears more fundamental than achievement per se. So in Chinese kind of a culture, your learning is more important for an employee than their achievements. Now let's look at how the culture impacts the goal setting part of performance appraisal. Several studies suggest that elements of goal setting theory do not necessarily generalize across cultures. What it says is, in certain cultures, having aggressive goals, having goals which are difficult or unachievable, unattainable, is something that works completely as a motivation in American kind of a culture, where if I can do 10 and if the target is 20, I feel highly motivated to achieve that 20. However, in cultures, in Eastern cultures, the same factor can become really deteriorate, so where if my capacity is to that of 10, and if I'm given 10 as a target or 11 as a target, then it really motivates me. Highly non-attainable goals do not motivate me. In fact, it demotivates me from even taking a step further. So those kind of smaller and softer things needs to be really taken care of when we are setting our performance management policy in place. So now let's look at how culture has an impact on the feedback. Feedback, which is one of the most important aspects of managing performance life cycle of the employee. Universally, positive feedback is taken well by both the sides, the giver and the seeker. However, the negative feedback, when we are talking about issues in the performance, issues in issues with the people around, issues with the work, that kind of negative feedback really needs to be, we need to be very, very sensitive, because there are cultures like American culture where direct feedback is appreciated. Even if it is negative, a direct feedback is appreciated. Whereas in Asian cultures like Indian culture or Japanese or Chinese culture, negative feedback or direct feedback is not taken very well. So those are the small intricacies that we need to really remember when we are giving feedback. The other thing to remember is in American kind of a culture or a Europe kind of a culture, people come forward and ask for their performance related feedback themselves. They do not wait for the manager to, you know, to be called upon and share the feedback to. However, again, in the Asian culture, which is slightly shy culture, Japanese and mainly Japanese, Chinese and Indian culture, people will not actively seek for feedback. So if an American is giving an active feedback to a person based in China, he might not appreciate that so well. So those are these finer things that we need to really remember and take cognizance of when we are designing our performance policy. So this is where it says that individual versus group performance induced more positive evaluations from individualists and collectivists respectively. Now let's look at how culture has an impact on rewards as well. Cultural values shape the preferences for organizational rewards and their implementation across culture. So most of the times in today's world, because the whole world is being Americanized, take-home salary or rewards in terms of hard cash is something which is really appreciated. Below that is the direct benefits. However, if we look at certain cultures, those cultures really appreciate rewards that comes in kind, rewards that comes in benefits, rewards that has long-term impact on employees' life, like education-related rewards, like housing-related rewards, like clubhouse membership-related rewards. So those kind of rewards are really appreciated by a group of people in certain geography. So while you are designing your reward policy, you really need to take into account who is the target audience. The people who are motivated with kind reward, if we give them cash and vice versa, it will the whole policy will fizzle out and it will not have the kind of impact which is imperative. Like I said, good pay and bonuses are the most preferred rewards for people across the globe. However, in cultures like in India, manufacturing industry, if you look at, they have a very parental approach where they believe in investing in long-term benefits of the employees, like I said, in schooling, education, in housing and all of that. Now, this is an interesting point where it says, though money is the one of the most obvious and strongest motivator for almost everybody in the world over, that is not the only factor which motivates people across the globe. What also motivates is how the work appears like, how is the work that they are engaged in is valued by the organization. Carrying forward the linkage between the culture and awards, it is interesting to note that in a research showed by a US firm, a US firm implemented payment by result systems, which is more individualistic driven and which is more driven by achievement of an individual. And that seems to be the most popular and most looked forward reward system in US. Whereas in Japan, seniority based payment systems are most respected and accepted norm in terms of rewards. Companies these days have come up with quite a few of very innovative reward systems which has things like on-the-spot rewards, on-the-spot recognitions, star of the month, star of the year kind of awards. And there are various categories of awards that companies have come up with, which is very encouraging, particularly for the companies who has huge employee base. So having only certain amount of awards and having a base of employees in thousands and lakhs don't really work, because then you have a scope of appreciating very, very few and very, very restricted talent pool. But if you increase the scope of the number of rewards, for example, like I said, it could be on the spot rewards, it could be star of the week or month rewards, it could be reward for taking an initiative, it could be leadership related reward, retention related reward. So all the functions which are niche, if we attach a reward, to recognize talent or hard work there, it really works. Taking forward the new kind of rewards that we are talking about, there are quite a few group-based profit sharing and saving plans that companies are coming up with. Culture affects incentives in multinational company with higher incentives in subsidiaries that are culturally close to the headquarters. Now here's a quick check. Your question number one is, culture impacts the following aspects of performance. Which do you think culture impacts the most? A, B, or C? Just quickly run through it. And your second question is, studies have found that Americans find feedback from Japanese manager frustrating because Japanese don't provide any feedback, Japanese provide implicit or informal feedback, or Japanese provide tangible and direct. This is what we spoke about. The Japanese do not like informal feedback or implicit feedback. So we have looked at the impact of culture on performance. Now we will move on to seeing how expats' performance appraisals are and what are the typical problems associated with them. Now, while the expats' jobs are the most sought after jobs and has a certain level of glamour attached to the kind of big assignments that they get to do, or the overseas travel that they get to do, there are quite a few problems associated with expats' performance, not just the performance but the evaluation of how the performance is assessed. And one of the important problem with performance evaluation here is that the local management typically evaluates the expat's performance from its own cultural frame, from the frame of its own cultural parameters of or standards of performance. Sometimes it works positively. So if the local standard of performance are not up to the mark, they really find the expat out of world kind of. But many times the expats also have huge problem of not been able to understand by the local set of managers or local set of management, leadership or management. So here is an example of the one of the American expat manager who took the culture of his parent company down to the country where he was deputed, and practiced a very participative decision making. So every decision that he had to make, he took a lot of feedback and inputs from the local people, right from juniors right up to the higher up hierarchy. What happened was, in this bargain, he was people started looking at him as an incompetent person who had to be fed with information or who had to be fed with the decision making criteria all the time. So those kind of cultural problems are associated with expats performance assessment, which need to be really taken care of. Otherwise, one is expat is out of home and away from family most of the times, and if these kind of things happens to him, it really deteriorates his entire motivation. Other things is, because the home office management is geographically distanced, they really find it difficult for him, for them to understand the problems or issues the expat must be facing. So there could be a labor unrest, or there could be local market related issues, local customer related issues, production related or inventory related issues, which are culturally not understandable to the home company. So assessment by the home company or of expat on these grounds can really take a hit. So typically, what happens is expats are assessed only on the most tangible or the most visible aspects, like what is, how have been the profit, how have been the market share, gearing up, what are the productivity levels, etc. But the softer side of challenges and the softer sides of problems the expats must be facing, which would have a huge impact on the bottom line, remains ignored a lot of time. And this kind of biases can really deteriorate the performance of the expat to a very large in a very large way. So like we spoke, local events like devaluation of the currency, strikes, political instability, all these factors really remain invisible when the home country gets into the assessment, and the assessment or the feedback really gets into an argument, and it can be a sticky situation expat can get into.